Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Quite a day in Ukraine. Let's go live to Joseph Lindsley. Joe, where are you and what is happening right now?
Bob, good afternoon from Kharkiv, the city I call the edge of the free world, 30 miles to Mordor, 30 miles to the Russian border. And we have been under air alarm here since about 12:45 on this Monday. Actually, I was getting a haircut when the alarm began. I was on a street that already is lined with buildings and windows that are broken due to months of shelling and missiles. And then as of about 1:40, so about 2.5 hours ago, all of Ukraine is under alarm. In fact, and I'm getting constant messages here. Just about 5 minutes ago, I have indication that there's a second wave of missiles that is hitting the country. For a while, you know, we had these Monday attacks, and in the past weeks, the attacks moved to different days. And then we had sort of this 12-day period with not much activity. Well, the activity certainly has returned today. And so just to give you an indication of what it's like here these past couple hours, these are some of the messages I've received from knowledgeable friends around the country. Air defense fires on two missiles on approach to Kyiv, one missile over Odessa, at least another over Mykolaiv. And then a few moments later, air defense activated in Mykolaiv, air defense activated Zaporizhia, air defense activated Dnipropetrovsk. Missiles coming from three directions, the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea, and possibly from Belarus. Additional missiles headed for Kyiv. And then residential building hit in Zaporizhia. And then after that, a few moments later, a friend in Lviv texted me, Lviv in the opposite side of Ukraine from where I am, explosion in Ternopil region. And then my friend writes, maybe we are next. And so this is the mode and mood that we're in these past hours. It does seem that, I mean, certainly there's been a heavy barrage of Russian missiles, but the air defense has been very sharp. And we only have a few indications of strikes that have hit targets so far. And what happened earlier this morning, we have reports, and it's hard to know exactly what happened, but that drones hit a Russian bomber base. So it's very unusual since February for there to be any strikes whatsoever on Russian territory. But there were indications that the Russian bomber base, which is it's called Ingalls, which, by the way, named after Frederick Ingalls, who was a friend of Marx. And so, you know, we might think that Russia has shed its communist, violent communist past, but their military base is still named after one of the great, tyrannical communist thinkers. And that base is about 375 miles east of where I'm speaking to you from Kharkiv. And there were reports that there was some kind of drone attack. And so perhaps what we're seeing now is a response to that. Today is a holiday in Ukraine for all volunteers. And tomorrow is a holiday for the Ukrainian armed forces. And so many people were expecting something tomorrow, but we are seeing lots of activity here today. We're still in a mode of uncertainty. As I look at the air alarm map, the entire country is under alarm. And actually right now, I just received a message saying, I don't hear any noise in the background. We have additional missiles flying over Kharkiv, from which I'm speaking to you at the moment.
Joseph, is this what you were talking about last week when there was a lot of chatter about an incoming attack, a huge Russian missile attack? Is this it?
It could be. It seems. I mean, you know, and this is, it's always, you know, last week we talked a lot about the, you know, what happens when you go for so many days, if, you know, almost 2 weeks. With very few air raid alarms and with no major attacks. And there is a sense that, you know, something wicked is, the Russians are planning something wicked and big. And so perhaps this could be it. Perhaps it was moved up a day because of whatever happened this morning at the Ingalls base in Russia. We don't quite know. But it seems that the air defense has been quite strong. And so it's not as, it's so far, it's not as dire as it was, say, those attacks, the infrastructure attacks on October 10th. Even as I speak, though, you know, much of the city here is, you know, firing on generators or without power. I'm inside, but I'm wearing a coat to stay warm. And so it's, yeah, we're in an afternoon, I would say, of uncertainty. But there's there's a lot planned, and I don't think today is anywhere near being over.
The price of freedom. We talk a lot about how important freedom is to the people of Ukraine, Joseph, and you mentioned that quite a bit. And that's why it's kind of interesting and controversial, this proposed banning of the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, for example, so as I answer this question, you know, I'm in an environment where, you know, at any moment, Russian missiles could be raining down upon this city. And over the weekend, I had so many messages from friends in America, like friends in Austin, Texas, friends involved in American politics, usually on the conservative side, saying, see, we told you Zelensky is bad because he's trying to ban religion and he's arresting priests. In fact, Donald Trump Jr. tweeted yesterday that the Ukrainians are arresting priests. And so this is, we have to explain a bit here. And for one, it's the Russian Orthodox Church is run by Patriarch Kirill, who was a KGB agent, and he's close with Putin, and he has endorsed and blessed this war. And actually, in 2018, in Ukraine, there's a few different branches of Christianity. You have the Greek Catholics that are Eastern in style, but they're loyal to the Pope, and then you have the Orthodox. And in 2018, because Russia had occupied Ukraine for 4 years, parts of Ukraine for 4 years at that point, many Ukrainian Orthodox parishes said, we want to be separate from Moscow. And the ecumenical patriarch in Constantinople, Patriarch Bartholomew, he recognized the Ukrainian church. And at that point in 2018, the Moscow patriarch said, we no longer are part of the family of Orthodox churches. So as we see how Russia has ostracized itself, you know, since February, actually religiously, they had separated themselves from the Christian world. And it has been well known and documented, even going back to the times of Stalin. Stalin allowed the Russian Orthodox Church to operate because it was an arm of the government. And so that their leader is an ex-KGB guy. And most people have known, and the government finally, after 9 months of this war, had evidence that the Russian parishes still continue to operate in Ukraine, were housing spies. And many of these Russian priests were spies. And so I think this is the thing that has to be clarified. And before February, it was about 20% of Ukrainians identified with that church. There hasn't been a poll done in the war since on that, but I think that number is a lot lower. And Christian priests and Jews and Muslims are free to practice religion here. The only church that is being targeted is that the one that is controlled by the Kremlin.
So important to get the full story there, and grateful to you for giving it to us, Joseph. I hope things quiet down for you soon, and your next haircut will be in peace.
So do I, Bob.
Yeah. So long until tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.